Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Monday, March 28, 2022. South Sudan government troops surround the house of the country's first Vice President, Riek Machar.
They guarded it because they need protection. The forces who are guarding are nothing other. This is the subsidiary amendment of the ever since the time they came, they have been guided by our forces.
And a Sudanese analyst says South Sudanese leaders need to address the root causes of the conflict in their country.
From the agreements here and there, you know, it is like very shaky. It is like, you know, it's like a game rather than a serious thing, you know.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government has deployed security forces around the residence of first Vice President Riek Machar. Government spokesperson Michael Makui says the South Sudan People's Defense Forces and National Security Forces are being deployed for Machar's own safety. David Monodanga reports for VOA from Juba.
For the past few weeks, clashes between South Sudan People's Defense Forces, or SSPDF, and forces loyal to the first Vice President Riek Machar have been reported in Upper Nile and the United States, threatening the 2018 River Valley Peace Agreement. Government spokesperson Michael Makwe told South Sudan in Focus today that security has been beefed around Machar's residence for his own safety following a decision by the Sudan People's Liberation Movement in Opposition, or SPLM-IO, to withdraw from the meetings of the Joint Defense Board and other security mechanisms of the peace deal. Makwe says the first vice president will remain under watch until SPLM-IO rejoins the meetings on security arrangements. Makwe says Machar is being guarded by professional forces from the South Sudan People's Defense Forces and the National Security.
As long as all these nonsense will subside, as soon as all these things subside, the situation will be done by normal. Being guarded because they need protection. Our forces who are guarding, nothing else. This is the SSPDF and the National Security. Ever since the time they came, they have been guided by our forces. So the security has been increased because of for his own protection and his own safety.
Military police and other organized forces have been deployed around Juba since Sunday afternoon, causing panic among some civilians. This security measure comes one day after Machar asked regional and international leaders to intervene to end renewed fighting in Unity and Upper Nile states, the strongholds of Machar's SPLM-IO forces. Makwe says the forces deployed around Machar's residence have nothing to do with the fighting in the Upper Nile and Unity states.
The fact that they have decided to pull out from the security mechanism, others is interpreted to mean another thing. And this could be exploited by some other subversive elements who are anti-peace. This is why it's been guarded and protected. People should not panic for no reason. These are ordinary security precautions that are being done at times. The situation is different now because those days there were forces inside the town, but at present there are no forces.
Juba resident Songa David says he was shocked to see military forces out on the streets while driving to work this morning. David says he fears a repeat of the outbreaks of war in 2013 and again in 2016 when he sees troops roaming the city.
When you find some streets, you find some rebellion, all they are dressed, compact, staged in some strategic places, well armed. So, as you drive, you, of course, when you see the presence of these things in this country, it still keeps reminding you of what has been happening in the years. But as a result, you will always have that fear in you.
In South Sudan, anything can happen, says David. He says it is even more alarming when citizens fear the National Army, which is supposed to protect them. Juba resident Luate Satuman says deploying army and security forces outside the first vice president's residence for security reasons is appropriate under the circumstances, but the public should be notified to avoid creating fear among residents.
Riek Machar is security at the hands of the president. Of course, since when he entered the country or the city, the president guaranteed his security. So I don't think he's really having threats, because the president is aware of his being here, and the president vowed to take his protection. To me, that deployment is right, but it should really not be. The public has to get also aware about, because what is concerned here, the public is worried on, you know, this abrupt deployment that the public is not aware. So I think it's causing a lot of panic within the city.
Settlement says the fact that Machar returned to the country without forces means there is no imminent danger of a war outbreak. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
A signatory to the South Sudan 2018 peace agreement says the implementation of the deal has stalled. Raja Mohandis, who signed the peace agreement on behalf of the civil society groups, says the main body monitoring the peace agreement has done very little to report violations and attacks by the South Sudan Army on opposition bases across the country. He says the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, IGAD, should intervene to rescue the country from sliding back to conflict.
I used to participate in all the meetings of RJMEC. And in RJMEC, we received reports from all mechanisms of the peace implementation, especially the transitional security mechanisms. And so I would say SPLM-IO is actually fully justified to pull out of these mechanisms. Number one, these mechanisms do not seriously find ways to address issues affecting implementation of the peace agreement. Challenges that have been happening, including attacks on the positions of the SPLM-AIO, has been ongoing, and RJMEC itself became serious about it only after SPLM-IO pulled out of these mechanisms. If they did not pull out, the attacks would continue.
How does this pull out affect on the long-term implementation of this peace agreement?
Well, they are both positive and negative aspects of the pull out of the SPLM-AIO from these mechanisms, including RJMEC. Number one, on the positive aspect, this has revealed the pretense that we have been hearing that the parties are committed to the implementation of the peace agreement, that they are making commendable progress in the implementation, and that the ceasefire is holding. Even as, when we know that all over South Sudan, the country is in flames. So this pretense and misinformation has been fully exposed by IO pulling out of these mechanisms because of attacks on their positions. And so if there is good intention to support the implementation of the peace agreement in South Sudan, this would be the time for IGAD and all partners supporting the peace process to take the right actions to support the process.
You're sounding like that because you first resigned from RJMAC, and then you fled the country pointing fingers at the leaders of the country for having, in your own words, failed to implement the agreement. How would you react to them?
I was a member of these mechanisms. The only reasons we were participating in these mechanisms on behalf of civil society and these ordinary citizens of our country was for this agreement to be implemented. In November 2020, I raised a concern asking for RJMEC meetings to be suspended until such a time that there was convincing commitment from the leadership of the country to implement resolutions of the mechanism. And when I raised this concern, one of the ministers, senior ministers in the government, got so angry and lashed at me very badly. But we had been raising these issues consistently that the agreement was failing and that much more needed to be done. And the reason I resigned from the mechanism was because I felt that it was not delivering on its intended objectives. And so it was not right for me to keep sitting in a mechanism that was not making progress.
Let's look at the issue from a different perspective. IGAD appointed a mediator for the resolution of conflict in South Sudan. That is the man called Ismail Wise, Dr. Ismail Wise. This is happening when he is also telling the world that the parties are making progress.
I want to say that is misinformation to the world and the South Sudanese public. The agreement is not making progress. The SPLM-AIO released its evaluation of the peace agreement recently. And you would see clearly that most of the provisions of the agreement remained not implemented. The key issues affecting civilians, the violence spreading all over the country, is because of the failure to implement the agreement to strengthen the capabilities of the states to respond to issues of insecurity. So you can see the failures of the peace agreement in all this. However, for some reasons, the IGAD itself and the rest of the partners continue to overlook the effect of failure of implementation of this agreement and try to project an image that the agreement is working. This is the most unfortunate part of the whole peace process, that things are not moving, and we see this in every aspect of the peace agreement, but there is no commitment to actually address these core issues that are happening.
Why would you think GEMAC is turning its eyes the other way when there is violations going on in the country? Why would you think GEMAC would do that? Their mandate is to monitor the agreement and report.
GEMAC is actually a combination of the parties. It is actually a form of an institution of the government. It's made up of the parties, and the parties have more say in GEMAC. And when we talk about the parties, we're actually referring to now the RTGON itself. Its representatives representing all the parties are in this mechanism. So they have more voice in RGEMAC. And the secretariat of RGEMAC, that is independent, that puts together the reports, first of all, only documents what is agreed upon in the meetings. And what is agreed upon in the meetings is largely bulldozed by the government representatives in the mechanism. Secondly, there is a deliberate attempt among the secretariat and the rest of the foreign nationals who are supposed to monitor the process and report accurately, that they fear the government representatives. There are records of these government representatives rejecting people being employed by IGAD in these mechanisms. And so this fear of the government officials also causes the secretariat of RGEMAC to act in a manner that does not disappoint the government officials.
And so a final question here. There is a development in South Sudan right now as we speak. The house of Dr. Riek Machar, the leader of the SPLM-IO, is being surrounded by government troops, police, and the national security. The Minister of Information, Michael Makuei, said that the deployment of the troops there is for the security of Riek Machar. How do you look at that situation?
Well, this is unfortunate development, obviously. But it is not a surprising development, because since Riek Machar came to Juba, he was not allowed to leave Juba city. He doesn't go to the States. He doesn't go to visit his forces. He doesn't move within Juba freely. He's actually being, in a way, cantoned in his house, and then from the house only to the office largely. So this is simply an extension of what he has been going through all this while. But also to use forces of the government to compel him to return to participate in RGEMAC and the mechanisms is unfortunate, because there are ways in which grievances would be addressed in the peace agreement.
That's Rajab Mohandis, a former member of the RGEMAC and a signatory of the 2018 peace deal. He spoke with me earlier today via a messaging app from East Africa. Some SPLM-IO officials and supporters are calling on the brokers of the revitalized peace deal to intervene immediately, arguing that the 2018 peace deal is at the verge of collapsing. The Deputy SPLM-IO spokesperson in Jonglo State says the key signatories to the agreement are likely to return to war due to what he calls provocations by the SPLM in government. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Juba.
Simon Hoth, deputy chairperson of the SPLM-IO in Jangole State, says he is extremely concerned over what he calls continuous attacks by the SSPDF on SPLM-IO forces in Upper Nile State and other locations. Hoth says he fully supported the decision made by the IO leadership in Juba to suspend all their participation in the joint meetings until their demands are met and implemented. He says the SPLM-IO remains committed to implementing the peace deal as long as their peace partners in the government and other signatories are willing to do so. Hoth says dialogue should be the only way to resolve all outstanding issues.
Our pull out from the meeting, not because we don't want a peace agreement. We are committed to peace agreement. But we say let us dialogue. What they really should get. Our position is only the decision made by the president and the whole attacks every time and people not sincere on what they have signed.
Last week, the leadership of the SPLM-IO, headed by Chairman Riek Machar, boycotted all meetings of the joint mechanism, citing the recent attacks on its positions by the government forces. Hoth says he is wondering as why the attacks have continued.
Why do people are still continuing and attacking our proposition? We really support the decision that has been taken by our leaders. Now we need the people of Ikat and the people of the Triska and the people who have been looking after peace to get in. And get what will be the way forward, actually?
Jock Madut Jock, a professor of anthropology at Syracuse University in New York, says the current tensions among South Sudanese leaders creates more chaos and underscores the fact that the key signatories have not kept their vows to fully implement the peace agreement. He says they are also looking for an excuse to extend the transitional period of the unity government.
They will most likely use this opportunity to ask for the extension of the interim period. This is definitely something that people of South Sudan are not going to stand for, but that's what they are going to try. The current situation is very volatile, it's very tense, and smacks a smell of war. But I don't think it's going to get to the level of any military confrontation.
Madut says the current tensions will likely affect peace agreement since most of the provisions have not been fully implemented.
The fact that the entire peace agreement has already stalled on the security chapter means that nothing else has been done. All the other chapters of the agreement have not been touched. And so any talk of implementation of the peace agreement is only just that, talk, and no substance to it.
A Bor Town resident who preferred to be identified only as Isaac for fear of reprisals blames South Sudanese leaders for dragging their feet towards implementation of the peace agreement. He says the entire 3-year transitional period has been wasted.
They already have a power sharing. They have already come to Juba. They have already sit down. And they are doing what the citizens don't know. These people have various chances of implementing peace and arrange their election.
Isaac says if South Sudan's leaders want to stay in power, the people will vote for them if they rule the country in the right way. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, a Sudanese analyst is calling on First Vice President Riek Machar and President Salva Kiir to sit down and talk. Find out why after the break.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. A Sudanese professor of history at the University of Missouri in the United States says South Sudan's 2018 peace agreement, which Sudan signed as a grantor, is a shaky deal that does not address the root causes of the prolonged conflict in South Sudan. Abdullahi Ali Ibrahim says the solution to South Sudan's current crisis must be local and can be achieved if the leaders of the country sit down and address their issues. He says Sudan government has an important role to play in mediating between President Salva Kiir and his first vice president, Riek Machar.
One would say it's supposed to be very important, but it seems that from the agreements here and there, you know, it is like very shaky. It is like, you know, it's like a game rather than a serious thing, you know. For example, the agreement that they have in Juba for the Sudan itself is no good, and it has a seal of approval of Southern Sudan, of South Sudan. It's just for advertisement, for looking for you know, a grantor. Because the rebel movement tends to like Southern Sudan rather than other places, and the same thing with Machar, and because I remember people like Salva Kiir used to accuse him of operating from Sudan and treated like an agent rather than a. So the problem is that the problems are very acute inside both parts of Sudan, and we are like helpless. We tend to be very helpless trying to solve these using our own resources, using our own mind, using our own history, using our even our own revolutions. This is just in my view is we are complicating each other's problems.
Sudan's peace agreement seems to be at a dangerous juncture after the current escalation between the two main signatories. What can the government in Khartoum do to play a positive role here?
It's just so called in our language called a jawid, go between, and it's just mechanical. It's rather mechanical. You go from this to this, and you get some concessions here and there, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Machar and Silva has been at loggerheads since 13 or 14. No one is going to help them. Not the international community. Not the African Union. They all tried. Not Kenya. Not Uganda. These people should start to address these questions as local. Every politics is local. They are not doing that. They are wasting time, and they are giving people peanuts, giving them false hopes that this is an agreement that this class of people, this class of people, this is what you call elite in politics. And they are at war. And real war. And they just take time sometimes, which you call hudna. That is ceasefire. It's just ceasefire. It is between Riek Machar and Silva. And here between al-Bashir used to be in Silva. And then between Silva and Bashir or Hano, because the problems of the peace agreement have been frozen during the revolutionary time, during the change in Sudan. But they were there. They're standing up, like Abiy, like the, you know, the passage of oil, like Khufrat and Nihas somewhere there in Darfur, and even on the white knife, they used to have skirmishes, and even on the blue knife.
So they were just frozen there waiting to pass out.
You already made a reference to the situation in Sudan with the revolution. So given the fragile situation in Sudan following the October 25th military takeover, is Sudan in a position to play that positive role to maintain peace in South Sudan? Or do the interests of Sudan's military rulers align with the purpose of maintaining peace in South Sudan?
They don't care for peace, you know. I don't think they care for peace. For example, the Southern Sudan is now having Abdullahi. Okay? He is in Southern Sudan, and he's not. And he has a very extreme, whatever you call it, position on peace, on the peace agreement. They have influence, some influence on the guy in the Nuba Mountains, the guy who controls the Nuba Mountains.
Abdulaziz Al-Hilu.
Abdulaziz Al-Hilu. And they're doing nothing. They just don't care, you know. So this is the reason why I say it is just, we are at play here. Well, it's an elite game. If you're taking it any seriously, you are just prolonging the tormenting of the people, the war between people, the civil wars here and there. So let us call a spade a spade. The hope is in calling them out. They have been, you know, people are hiding these facts from them.
That was Professor Abdullahi Ali Ibrahim speaking to Nabil Biagio here in Washington. That's all we prepared for you this Monday. We now end the show with the song Nanyongere by Colonel Mido.
Anevuni aurwe, anevuni aurwe. Monya mijinga yara egunani, monya mijinga yara egunani. Anevuni aurwe, anevuni aurwe. Nani olotir, nani olongere mama. Nani olotir, nani olongere. Nani olotir, nani olongere.
Ayamani balu taoro ena isuto.
Nani olotir.
Ayamani balu taoro ena isuto.
Nani olongere.
Ayamani balu taoro.
Nani onyo horibong?
Ayamani balu taoro ena isuwe.
Nani olotir, nani olongere mama. Nani olotir, nani olongere mama. Nani olotir, nani olongere. Nani olotir, nani olongere.
Ayamani balu.
We have been listening to Colonel Mido with the song Nani Ongere. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking time to be with us. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Bwae kanga bwae iromo e Evrada nani tene e bwa Evrada nani tene e bwa Adulunye senta Akana, akana Igu moti, igu moi Nani onyo horibong Nani olotir, nani olongere Ivana, Ivana, Ivana.